We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. Now, let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
It's always great to come to you here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast after a win. Enjoying the bye week so far? Hope you are. Dan Zangrilli, the Wolfman, Dale Wolfley, glad to have you along. Couple of great guests for you as well, so be sure to stay tuned for that. Alonzo Adai, diving interception. Matt Moore, assistant head coach. Offensive line, Savant. They're all stopping by the pod, Wolf, and we have a lot to talk about with those two coming up. And we also have a lot to talk about here in this opening segment after the 56-10 victory against Eastern Kentucky. We've already heard from the head coach this week on the bye. So what are your big takeaways from last week, how this week is going to go, and then maybe even a little bit of a look ahead to next week already at Oklahoma State?
Well, what I always really love about a Neil Brown press conference, Danny, is he just gives you the facts. Mm-hmm. He tells you, this is what we were bad at, this is what we were good at, this is what we were okay at. And again, as he's always coming out and just, you know, being straight with everybody and knowing exactly where this football team is, particularly on the field. And what I really enjoy about that is that the players know that. Mm-hmm. Because when they know that, and they know coach is going to be straight, then they can go ahead and hold themselves accountable and each other as well. So, again, going out with Coach Brown, hey, there's a lot of good things that happened Saturday. There are some things that they need to clean up, and there's things that this whole week. Again, we talked earlier about this being a traditional week, or, you know, with the COVID coming in, how are they going to handle this? And right now is they're battling COVID pretty well. Okay, so we'll knock on wood, and hopefully that continues to go. But they really need to worry about Oklahoma State in the Big 12 because there's no more Eastern Kentuckys anymore. Mm-hmm. So it was a great thing to go out in Eastern Kentucky, get the players on film. By the way, a whole mass of players. So they're really knowing where these players are at this point in time of the season. So everything is really going in the direction that we wanted to. And I talked before on, you know, the press conferences that, you know, West Virginia went out and performed to their standard, not Eastern Kentucky's. So they went out and performed at their standard, playing a lot of players and still keeping a cohesive unit on offense and a cohesive unit on defense. Now, the one thing that it was a little disappointing to me was the special teams, because when they actually went out and performed well, I mean, they were out there performing well. But then they had a couple of missed opportunities, the callback, touchdown, kickoff return.
And why do you think that is? Because we're always so buttoned up on special teams. That was a real outlier and a real head-scratcher for me.
It's youth.
Yeah,
honestly,
okay.
It's youth.
That's fair.
Because the reason why I believe in the special team so much and put so much focus on that is because Coach Brown does.
Oh, yeah.
And when I'm watching practice, every practice, he's out there, and he is giving more than coaches speak. He is doing it in all the special teams. And I think he was a little disappointed as times. But, again, they've also did some really good stuff, too.
Sure.
So I go right back to youth. And this is what this game was all about is, you know, it's honing up. And because I was going to tell you, Danny, and I stand on this, but we're going to win games by special teams this year and the future. Because I'm telling you, it's kind of like I hate using this, but I'm going to use it, Virginia Tech and Frank Beamer. Because he was a guy that was just like, we're special at special teams, and we're going to do this. And I think this guy, our Coach Brown, is the same way.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a little silver fox in him. Coach Snyder in Manhattan, I think, when it comes to special teams as well. And you mentioned Coach Beamer. But, I mean, heck, you say we're going to win games with special teams. I think we have won games
because
of special teams. Right. So have, will, no
and
doubt.
And continue.
Yeah. Won a game because of big plays like Alonzo Adai, his diving interception. He was second on the team in tackles. He'll be by to tell us a little bit about himself, how he got to West Virginia, and his background living north of the border, what challenges that creates to be a kid from Canada who loves the game of football. The opportunities aren't as abundant as they are here in the United States. So a really interesting story with Alonzo Adai. Obviously, the connection that he has here with his cousin, Jamile, it was a natural fit, but we took a roll of the dice on a kid from UNH at the FCS level, and it's apparent that he could play not only FBS mm-hmm. football, but Power 5 football. So looking forward to the conversation that I have with him coming up.
If his name's Adai,
yeah.
I'm going to bet on him.
Yeah.
Really, honestly, because Jamile Adai, you know, watching him, he came after me now. Okay, so sure. He was a young brother, and when I watched him play, I just used to love it. I mean, he was ferocious.
Mm-hmm.
He was afraid of nothing. Any receiver, so you said, crossing his zone, watch out. And you know what? He staked and claimed out his territory, and those receivers knew where that guy was on the field at all times.
Yeah, we'll also hear from Matt Moore coming up a little bit later on. How did the offensive linemen grade out Zach Frazier in particular? If I told you that Zach Frazier graded out second best amongst all of the offensive linemen, and there were a dozen that played on Saturday, for a true freshman to be doing that, that is just absolutely bananas. So stick with us. We're going to hear from both of them coming up. You're listening to the Mountaineer Insider Podcast with the Wolfman. I'm Dan Zhang. Really, stay with us back after this.
Today tastes like game day at home. Like assigned couch seating. Tastes like coffee table dining. And an ice cold Coke to cool down the heat. It tastes like the game you've waited for all week with friends you've known your whole life. Today, tastes like watching football is supposed to. And it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola. Together tastes better.
So, Alonzo, obviously a great debut in a West Virginia uniform. I know that you were really chomping at the bit to get out there. But before we maybe talk about Eastern Kentucky and the performance, let's just start with how it all began. And how you wound up here in Morgantown. Obviously, there's a connection to Jamile, your cousin, but take us through when WVU really became an opportunity and a true possibility.
Well, closer towards the end of it would have been my redshirt sophomore spring. I was just in a position at UNH where I felt like I needed to play at a bigger school and get myself playing against the best talent out there. And so I put my name in the transfer portal, started getting, you know, some interest from some schools, and that's when West V became a possibility. And, you know, obviously the connection with my cousin and being around Morgantown, I remember my parents bringing me to a game out here in the winter when I was younger, you know what I'm saying, seeing him and Pat Mann and all those guys. So I was familiar with West Virginia, loved the school, and it was an easy fit.
So take us back to, I guess, high school. Were there some Power Fives at all sniffing around on you? And what made you have to go the FCS route? Because it's pretty clear that you could play at the FBS level, at a pretty high level for that matter.
Yeah, so being from Canada, it's kind of hard to get opportunities, especially with me being a redshirt senior, you know, 5 years ago. I know more recently a lot of Canadians have been getting a lot more opportunities down here. But back then, you know, it was hard. A lot of the schools that I was talking to or had interest in me wanted to see me play against American competition for a full high school schedule. So that's why I had to take a prep year at the Petty School in New Jersey. And that's kind of where my recruitment like actually started, because, you know, high school ball in Canada, it's a lot different than down here in the States, as far as just coaches, like, you know, knowing what to do and speak to coaches, putting you in front of them, getting you to camp, stuff like that. That was all kind of new to me. So did the prep year in Jersey. My recruitment kind of started late, just being as most of the schools already had their recruiting classes done. So that's how I ended up with the one offer to UNH, and that I took it.
That's pretty crazy. You know, the upbringing, I would imagine, is a little different. As you mentioned, high school football north of the border is probably and obviously behind what we have here in the States. Can you kind of discuss what that is like, where it's at? Obviously, football isn't necessarily the dominant sport up there, right? I mean, they play with sticks and pucks and they're skating around up there. That's how that works, huh?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of guys in Canada that can play. A lot of guys that I feel like could play down here is really just a opportunity and getting put in front of the coaches to see. And it's hard, especially for college coaches evaluating, because, you know, they're wanting to base their evaluation off talent that you're going against. And they haven't recruited at all in Canada. So to see film, they don't really know where you stand. So most of the coaches ask the players in Canada to come down here to the States, whether it be for a prep year or to leave high school early and come down here and finish out. High school ball in Canada is just different. As far as, like, we didn't have 7-on-7. We didn't have, you know, like, weightlifting and stuff like that normal high school programs have down here. So it was just an adjustment that I had to make.
So Lonzo, tell us, can you recall how old you were when you came to a West Virginia game? I'm trying to do the quick math here. I mean, you mentioned your cousin and Jamal and Pac-Man. So I was curious as to maybe what year you came down to take in a West Virginia game.
I know. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember it off the top of my head exactly how old I was. I just know I was young.
Do you remember who they played? Young. Do you remember which game you attended?
No, I don't. It was that young. It was that young.
But you remember it, right? You remember the atmosphere.
I definitely remember it.
What do you remember most? What stood out most to you about that game that you can recall?
The fan base, especially being that young. That was honestly probably one of my first big time sporting events to attend in general. So just remember the fans going crazy surrounding college football. It was all just new to me.
So it left an impression, and hopefully we'll be able to fill the stadium back up before too long, so you can remember that atmosphere that when you were a little kid maybe subliminally made you really want to take on football and this opportunity here at West Virginia. What else did you play besides football growing up in Canada? Anything in particular, or were you solely football?
Soccer heavy. From a young age, I played soccer. My dad's from Arsenal, so football is new to our family in general. My older cousin Jamal is really the one who started all of it, playing football. So we grew up on soccer, watching the World Cup. My family's from Ghana in Africa, so watching the World Cup, watching them play, and I was a big soccer fan growing up and playing youth ball, little league ball. I played all the way up until high school. I played soccer.
No kidding. When did you start putting on the football pads? Was that at the around the same time? Was it soccer, football? How do those seasons work? Because typically, you know, soccer, at least here in the States, as you know, soccer runs parallel with football, so you
parallel
don't necessarily.
Yeah, I didn't. I started playing ninth grade. That's when I really started putting on the pads. Obviously, you know, just family being in football. Football was always surrounded. Like, I was always surrounded by football, whether it be, you know, at recess playing or out on the streets playing. But as far as actually putting on a jersey, putting on the pads, it was high school when I started playing ninth grade.
Pretty crazy. So how have the soccer skills helped in your football game? I hear that a lot in baseball, you know, footwork and things of that nature. And I would suppose the same thing sort of does translate to your position from the soccer field to the defensive backfield.
Most definitely. I would say footwork is the biggest transition, just especially playing defensive back. Slow feet don't eat. That's what a lot of our coaches say. So just being able to transition, move my feet, get in and out my breaks, stuff like that, it helped a lot.
Do you feel like you have some of the best footwork on the team? And, you know, when you are going up against wide receivers, or did you feel that you have some extra confidence with your footwork and you're able to do things that maybe others on the field cannot?
I'm very confident in my footwork. I spent a lot of time working on it all the way from ninth grade with trainers and coaches. So I'm definitely confident in my footwork. I don't want to sit here and tell you that I'm the best on the team, but I definitely feel confident in my footwork.
Yeah, and that's all tied back to the soccer background, yes?
Most definitely.
Interesting. Something that you would recommend for all kids coming up to play that sport?
Yes, I would definitely say, you know, soccer is a great starting point, definitely.
Alonzo, take us to the game on Saturday. Any nerves, butterflies? I mean, it's a stadium with an extra deck, right? Probably compared to what you're used to at New Hampshire. Take me through maybe everything leading up to that game as you made your WVU debut.
Leading up to the game, I wouldn't say nerves. I would more so just say anxious. You know, I haven't played in over a year and a half, so just getting the opportunity to finally put on the pads and play against another opponent other than, you know, in practice or in the scrimmage situations that we've been in. So it was exciting. I would say excited to be able to put on the jersey finally and go out there and compete.
So how do you feel your football instincts are, considering that you did get a relatively late start? From everything that I'm able to tell, it looks like you've been able to get caught up to speed fairly quickly here.
I would say that I spend a lot of time watching film, so I would say that, you know, my instincts are good, but I would definitely say that there's always room for improvement. Each and every game I'm looking to improve. My coaches harp on that, and that's moving from game to game, focusing on game to game. So I would say I'm definitely still room to improve as far as my instinct.
Where specifically are you looking to improve upon?
I would say just overall, my overall game, especially being a back end as a safety, we need to make everybody else right on the defense. So just understanding the defense as a whole and moving from week to week in that.
Where do you believe that your strengths lie? If you were to say, hey, you know, I belong in this West Virginia team and I can help this West Virginia team, and here are the reasons. What are those reasons?
I would say I'm a very vocal player. I try and get all my teammates lined up. I try and fit where is needed, and just attacking the ball. When the ball's in the air, I definitely feel as though it's mine, so just going and getting it.
Take us through the interception against Eastern Kentucky. What did you see? What were you thinking about? Obviously, you have to leave your feet for it. Anytime you leave your feet as a defensive back, that has to be a calculated decision. So take me through that decision and what led to the really one of the best plays of the game.
I had just been trusting my keys that the coaches gave me. I was in a position where I was freed up on the play. I put my eyes onto the quarterback. I saw the quarterback pump fake to the left as Nick Troy was covering the receiver to my left. He had great coverage on him. I saw him pump fake, so I started leaning that way. And then once I seen him take his hand off the ball, our coaches tell us to trigger as soon as that hand comes off the ball from the quarterback. So I just triggered it, went and got it.
Yeah, you did. You made it sound a little easier than maybe it actually looked, but it was a pretty athletic play there, man. And it was fun to see. It was fun to watch you running around out on the field.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, seven tackles, second most on the team. We're looking forward to watching you here down the stretch, Alonzo. Appreciate the time. Thanks for the insight, the backstory as well. You seem like a really fun guy to be around, and I know Mountaineer fans, they love those type of players, and I think you're going to be received quite well here in West Virginia.
Thank you guys for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Today tastes like game day at home, like assigned couch seating. Tastes like coffee table dining. And an ice-cold Coke to cool down the heat. It tastes like the game you've waited for all week with friends you've known your whole life. Today, tastes like watching football is supposed to. And it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola. Together tastes better.
All right, Coach, you had an opportunity to pop in the game film, and as you reviewed everything, was it as good as it looked on Saturday in real time and having an opportunity to sleep on it here for, a few days? How pleased are you with the effort? Not necessarily of the performance, but I think the game plan as far as getting a lot of guys, a lot of young guys, some really significant minutes on Saturday.
Yeah, I end up having, I'm looking at the list right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. End up having 12 guys.
Wow.
Significant, upper, lower 20s and above snaps, which was really big for us to get those guys in. I was really, our two things going into the offseason that we talked about after, not a very good year last year up front. Knew we had a lot of strides to make and a lot of ground to make up. And two of the biggest things we talked about all year was our communication had to be better and our overall toughness and physicality had to be better. And I felt like we made strides in that direction. I still think there's a lot. We got a lot to go to get it to where we want it and to get to where we need to have it to be able to compete for championships in this league. But we definitely took a step forward, which was nice to see.
So when you say you want to be tougher, how do you do that? How do you work on that? I mean, outside of just trying to do it, Coach, I'm curious as to how you get from point A to point B in that respect.
Well, you've got to set a standard. You got to make sure they understand the standard that you set, and you do it with film from other schools. You do it with film from NFL. You do it through Mike Joseph and his crew from a straight physical standpoint. But, that's the big thing is mentally them understanding what it means to be tough. Like, oh, I'm going to be tougher. Well, what are you going to do? I mean, you got to understand what it means to strain and a level of strain. We worked on that all camp. What we see as the level of strain that we need on blocks, which I don't think we had last year. And really, it really helps when they can, put that film on from Saturday and I can make a 8 to 10 play cut up of guys straining and being tough and playing hard, and they see it and they see themselves do it and they see the difference between last year and this year. That's how you teach them, and they start understanding, because every kid wants to play hard, but they just don't understand always what it means when you say play hard.
Matt Moore with us. You mentioned you had a dozen guys get significant snaps. Did anybody grade out perhaps better than you thought real time as you go back and you look at it and you do your charting and whatnot? What really stood out from maybe an individual standpoint?
I'll tell you, a lot of the way we do for offensive line is, everybody's got your traditional percentage grade, right? And I explain it to them like this. I say, okay, say you play 100 plays in a game, and on 90 of those plays you play perfect. But on 10 of them you give up 10 sacks. I said, do you think you played a good game? Hmm. Oh, you graded 90%. Do you think you played in there? Like, no. So what we do is it's all about production. Were you productive? Did you have great blocks? Did you play with effort? Did you have knockdown? Did you play with no mental errors, no missed assignments? Did you not give up any sacks, And then you got your negatives. Did you jump off sides? Did you give up a hit on the quarterback? Did you have mental mistakes? So it's a production. And I had two guys that really had high production numbers and they were right there at the top. We have a most valuable offensive lineman each week, and it was Mike Brown. He had 28 production points, and then right behind him was Zach Frazier with 26 production points. And we had several guys in the, you know, above 10 in the production point category. And it's, you know, it's hard to get a lot of production points as an O lineman. You got to get people on the ground, and you got to drive people off the ball. But those were the two guys that really stuck out from a production standpoint. They graded out really well, played with high effort.
I mean, Matt, for a true freshman and Frazier to be doing that, that's pretty much insane. I mean, so you, essentially what you're telling me, just so I don't misinterpret here and I don't want to put words in your mouth, is of all the offensive linemen, he essentially had the second-best grade. Am I interpreting that right, or I don't want to misconstrue that? But nevertheless, the point stands about Frazier.
Yeah, he played really well. And he's a kid that's mature beyond his years physically and mentally when it comes to playing the game. I mean, he does a lot of things. He understands the game. You know, his dad's done a phenomenal job of, like, teaching him the game. His dad was an offensive lineman in college. And he's got a lot of physically, you know, from being a wrestler and just always enjoying the weight room and training his whole life. He's in really good shape, and he's really a strong player. So it didn't surprise me going into it, watching him on camp, that he was going to be. Now, I didn't expect him, you know, going into the season to start the first game. You know, but it happened, and he had to, and he took, you know, he took advantage of it, and he played really well.
So you seem, and Neil doesn't seem shy at all about putting some responsibility on this guy's shoulders as a true freshman. This is a harbinger of things to come, I would like to think.
Well, yeah, I mean, you also got to understand, it's always different when you get into Big 12 play, and you're playing Oak State, and you're playing right. Texas, and you're playing Oklahoma. You know, there's a physical component there that you're going to run into that's going to be different than what we saw last week. And you're not really sure how he's going to respond to that. But he's definitely going to have his opportunities to show us what he can do in that setting. Going on the road to a Big 12 venue with no fans, I don't think it's going to be as intimidating as normal as when they have a full capacity crowd. But it's still an intimidating thing just because of the guys you're going up against. So, you know, he's like I said. I mean, he did a really good job last week. He's really mature. He's composed, and he's physically can get it done. So we're going to see where we go from there. But I was really excited about the way he played and the amount of effort he played with.
How about the MAs? Just collectively in a good spot on Saturday.
That was something that he had. He had a couple. Now, he's got a lot of responsibility as a center because you're identifying the front. You're basically telling everybody who they're going to block. I mean, it's not just line up and listen to what somebody tells you and you do it. You know, there's a lot of things you got to comprehend. So he had a few MAs, and he knew it. You know, he missed some blitz looks. But he's one of those guys. I tell my guys all the time, game day is not a day to make excuses and not tell the truth. You know, when you come to the sideline, if you messed up, you let us know so we can fix it. To know if we have to fix it or if it was just a mental error. But he had a couple of them. He had a couple of them, but he definitely will learn from them, and he's the kind of kid that will take it stride and fix it.
Matt, so a couple of bye weeks this year. Everything is just so unique, so different. How are you going to use this time down preparing for Oklahoma State? But also, there's some trips. There's some recruiting elements. I mean, what are you trying to do here with this time down here?
You know, with the kids, it's about getting their bodies back at the same time, keeping them cardiovascular and getting them continuing to get them in shape. That's the big difference this year is, you know, usually they've been with Mike all summer and they're in great shape, and all we've got to worry about is practice. And making sure they're doing the right thing as far as the footwork and the schemes and all that. But now, you know, it's a little bit of that element. After practice, we've got to make sure we're doing stuff to, you know, keep them in shape and continue to get them in better shape. So that's a big thing this time of year. Also, you know, we're working on video right now, watching Oak State. Been watching them for 2 days and seeing what they did to us last year and seeing, you know, they got everybody back, except I think one corner. But so you're basically looking at the same team coming back. So we're definitely preparing for that. And recruiting is turned into a virtual world. You know, there's no traveling. There's no going to see kids. There's no them coming to see us. It's all You know, we've got these virtual tours planned where we're on Zoom with the kids and the parents, and we're showing them the campus and, you know, trying to just do all you can to keep that connection on the recruiting road that you don't have because you can't go to their school and watch them play and talk to them about, because, you know, a lot of the kids that we're recruiting aren't playing at all. So, and, you know, it's, you're recruiting against all the Big Ten schools that are not playing. So all they're doing is recruiting. So there's some elements there that definitely make this year different, very different, that we got to make sure we're covering all our bases.
Because I was going to ask you, as to a place and school like West Virginia in our current circumstance that is playing, are we at a decided advantage or disadvantage? It sounds like to some degree that there are some challenges, Matt, that maybe some other institutions won't have to deal with. So I would tend to say disadvantage. Would you agree with that?
Well, I don't know. I think it's an advantage anytime the kids can see you play. Anytime a recruit that can see you play and they can actually see where the rubber meets the road, not just a bunch of fluff and a bunch of graphics and a bunch of people just talking to them and trying to sell them something. It's more like, hey, this is what we're about. We came here to return this program to what it was, once was, and here's how we're doing it. You can watch us play and you can see it. I think that's a huge advantage over a team that's just pumping out a bunch of recruiting letters and phone calls and graphics. I see it as an advantage.
So you're all about quality over quantity, for sure. I love the philosophy with Matt Moore, who's active in West Virginia's recruiting, assistant head coach, offensive line, with us here on the Mountaineer Insider. I know that you guys will figure out a way to make the most out of this situation with virtual recruiting. What are you doing that you think establishes West Virginia maybe from the other schools with all of the restrictions that you're currently dealing with? I'm curious as to how Neil would find a way to find an inefficiency here.
Yeah, you know, the big thing is we got to, you know, the administration has given us, you know, the opportunity to hire some really good, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, some people that do phenomenal jobs in recruiting and staying on top of the 22 class. It's very organized. Coach Brown is he's an offensive coach, but really, he's a recruiting coach. I mean, he stays on top of every recruit, everybody that we're recruiting, everybody we have committed. We spent 2 hours yesterday watching every kid that we have committed, watching senior film if they had it, and just making sure we're on the right track and seeing what they need to do to get better, and are they good enough? Are they, you know, we're constantly looking through 21 guys, looking through guys that are in the 22 class now, so. It's never ending. Like I said, we're doing virtual tours daily with 22 kids and getting them on the phone and getting them on Zoom and making sure we talk to the parents and they see, you know, they see what we have to offer. Katie Gusto, our on-campus recruiter, does a great job of putting together a lot of videos that we watch with these kids where they can see our campus and they can see what we have to offer and our fifth quarter program that we have and our, you know, so many things that we're doing that set us apart. We make sure we want them and their parents to know and understand what we're trying to do to get this place, you know, back in championship contention.
Yep. Coach, all the best in doing so. It's been a lot of fun to talk to you here over the last 10, 15 minutes or so. Great one on Saturday. I know you guys are just burning the oil and the wick at both ends, and we're so appreciative because we're starting to see the tangible fruit here already. What is it, a year and a half into things? So, Matt Moore, appreciate your time, and let's connect again soon.
Great. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Today tastes like game day at home. Like assigned couch seating. Tastes like coffee table dining. And an ice cold Coke to cool down the heat. It tastes like the game you've waited for all week with friends you've known your whole life. Today tastes like watching football is supposed to. And it never tasted this good. Coca-Cola. Together tastes better.
All right, Wolf, we heard from both Coach Adai, Alonzo Adai, Coach Adai's cousin. We heard from Matt Moore as well. Really just the work that he puts in, not only with these offensive linemen, but on the recruiting trail, which it's going to be big. West Virginia here this week, even though they can't get out and see players, they're getting creative. They're doing a lot of different things, what they can within the confines of COVID, to be able to be the best recruiters that they could be via Zoom or virtually. So that's going to be a big week this week. But this week is also going to be about just getting physically ready to go against a Big 12 opponent. I know that they're going to be doing a lot of work on the Pokes mm-hmm. this week, but we've discussed and we've wondered aloud, how is the physical game going to come to play considering everything that we've had to deal with off the field? So this is a great time to dot those I's, cross those T's physically.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know what I love about Matt Moore? He's a former offensive lineman, right? Because mm-hmm. you got to sure. be a former, you know, you got offensive lineman to be one, right? Or coach one. And, you know, offensive linemen are usually fairly gregarious, okay, and good guys. And, you know, it's the only position in any kind of major college sports that I know of where they're actually designed to protect either the quarterback or the running backs. You know, they're out there to be bodyguards and move defensive opponents. But usually, you know, they're tough, they're blue collar and down to earth. Well, I look at Frazier, the center, and he's got a bright career, and I'm not going to go overboard. He's got a long way to go. He needs to improve. He'd probably be the first one to tell you that. But I want to tell you this. He's more than gregarious. He's got some stuff coming out of his neck. You know what I mean? He's kind of nasty, man.
I don't
you don't
know
even understand
means.
It because you don't know what an offensive lineman
is. I don't know what that means. Explain. Stuff coming out of his neck. It sounds
it's like just oozing out, man. He's just nasty, and he's down there. He's going to fight you. You know, he'll do whatever it
he's
takes.
He's got the it factor.
The it factor, I don't know what you call it. But, you know, with defensive linemen, they usually are, you know, kind of, let's just say they're not nice. Okay, that's usually the...
They're not known for their disposition, is what
you're
saying.
I would say offensive linemen, you know, like I said, you know, they're tough, and but, you know, they're usually good dudes. You know, they want to hang out in fives, mm-hmm. right? That's the way our – but with Frazier, not that he doesn't want to hang out in fives, but I'm telling you what, this boy is just downright
– He's got it going on.
He's got it going on.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, come on, man.
It was
he's a freshman, true freshman.
And to grade out as
at the good, second highest,
as,
you said?
As good as he did, yep.
Yeah.
Only to Sam Brown. That's Michael Brown.
Michael Brown.
Beg your pardon.
Whatever Brown you want.
Yeah. There's a lot of Browns on this team that are doing just fine, actually, and going to be helping West Virginia's success. All right. That'll do it for this edition of the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Special thanks to all of our guests, Alonzo Adai and Matt Moore. Be sure to stay dialed into WVUSports.com, and we'll be back on the air on Tuesday afternoon with the Neil Brown press conference show for game week against Oklahoma State as we get you ready for the Pokes in Stillwater, a 3:30 kick. You've seen that note already. It'll be on national television, either ESPN or ABC. For the Wolfman, Dale Wolfley, I'm Dan Zangrilli. Hail West Virginia. Let's go Mountaineers. This is MSN, the Mountaineers Sports Network.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. And be sure to find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUSports.com. The following has been a presentation of Learfield IMG College.